Hello, and welcome back to Petals of Support. This is Mama D. Tonight we are going to talk about a subject that my last guest, Jay, brought up, which is about being positive. And this is something I'd actually thought about talking about, so I kind of love when someone else brings it up and I think, oh, so that's a little validation. It's something that people think about, not just me. So it would be a good topic to kind of go over, maybe give a little mom advice on. So being positive. We are going to kind of veer off and talk about something different first, and it all ties together, I hope. I hope I can tie all this together, but we are going to first talk about my husband. My husband has a love for numbers. He has a love for math. He is just obsessed with numbers, and it can be annoying. But I understand we all have things that we find interesting and things that we like to put our time into. So, for example, if you were to ask him how much we paid for my car that we bought, I want to say in probably 2002, 2003, he can tell you exactly how much we paid for that car. He can tell you what he paid for his first dirt bike back when he was about 18 and bought his first one on his own. He can go to the grocery store and tell you how much certain things cost in comparison to other things. Now, this is the same man that a few weeks ago I had told him three times that I would be driving my youngest to the stadium for a soccer game, and then I had some errands to run, so I would meet him at the stadium about 5:15 for a 5:30 game. And at roughly 5:15, he texted me and asked where I was. He had just realized that I wasn't home, and when were we leaving for the soccer game? And I texted him back, well, I'm here. I don't know where you are, but I am here, and I told you three times that I would be here. So his choices of what he pays attention to, a little bit different. And that's okay, because I think sometimes we have a balance. There's certain things that I find importance in, there's certain things that he finds importance in, and we kind of balance each other out that way. Going off of his kind of love for numbers is numerology. And I'm not really sure when he first kind of found it really interesting, but I found it interesting too, because he liked numerology in where you add up certain numbers, birth dates and birth years, and you ended up with a final number. And that final number was supposed to tell someone what their personality was like. And he would figure out everyone from our kids to family members we had, he would figure out what their number was. And then he would read the personality, the characteristics that that person was supposedly supposed to have. And I did find it interesting as well, because sometimes it was kind of spot on. It was kind of amazing. Other times I'd sit back and think, well, that's kind of a broad paint stroke. Anyone could fit into that kind of characteristic, but he found it interesting, and he still, to this day, likes to find out what somebody's birthday is and figure it out. Another thing he loves is what I have heard called angel numbers, and that is when you have two numbers or even just one number that you find kind of speaks to you and you see it when you're out and about. I have a couple numbers that I like, and they are numbers that do mean something to me. So if we were to play the lottery, those would be the two numbers I would pick. When I'm doing like roulette, or craps is kind of my game, but if I'm playing roulette, these are two numbers that I like to put some money on. My two numbers, just because of what they are, you don't necessarily see out too often. He, though, will see his number, which is 11. 11, 11, or just plain 11. And I can't tell you how many times he has texted me to take a picture of a clock, and he'll say that he happened to look up and it was 11, 11, or it was 12, 11, or whatever, and he would want me to see. And sometimes I'd ask him, but I never really got an answer. How many times did you look at the clock before you saw 11, 11? Because we kind of ignored the other numbers we saw and focused on those special numbers, those angel numbers. We found what we were looking for. And sometimes he really would never answer me, but I thought, well, if I have a meeting coming up and I need to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, I might start at 12:30 checking the clock. And so in a matter of a half an hour, I might look at the clock 5 or 6 times. So I will see all sorts of variations, 12:30, 12:37, 12:43, all the way till that 1 o'clock. So if one of my numbers happens to be 50, it's not, but let's say it is, there's a good chance that I might look at the clock and see 12:50, but I'm ignoring the fact that I saw 12:37 in there as well. So when it comes to being positive, we do sometimes see what we are looking for. I kind of look at it as a I spy game in a way, or a Where's Waldo. When we're looking for something and really focusing on it, we tend to see it. So when he'll send me a picture from the grocery store that something is on sale for $2.11, and he's, oh, there's that number 11 again, I'll say, how many other numbers in prices did you look at, but that one stood out? What about the item that was 99 cents? What about the item that was $5.99? You didn't pay attention to those because you weren't looking for them, but you were looking for that number 11, and there you saw it, $2.11, or whatever it is, whatever the item is. When we're seeking something, when we're looking for something, it's kind of in the forefront, and we seem to find it. And that's the same with waking up or being positive, or on the other side, kind of being negative, being sad, being down on something. When we're searching for the negative, or when we're searching for the positive, we tend to see it. And I think perspective is also kind of a big deal in all of that, isn't it? Because we've all heard the idea that a glass is half empty or half full. Well, if it's half empty, they say you're a pessimist because you're not looking at what's left as there's still some left. You're looking at there's not much left. And if you see a glass is half full, well, you're an optimist. You're seeing a bigger picture. You're being positive about it. But it's the perspective that matters, right? If you were to invite me over and say, here is a big glass of coconut water. Well, Mama D does not like anything coconut, not even remotely. I do not like coconut pies. I do not like coconut chocolate, covered coconut, anything. I do not like, I just don't like coconut. So if you were to give me a glass of coconut water and say, take a few big gulps out of this. Well, I take a few big gulps and that glass is still full in my mind. That's not me being positive. That's me not happy because there's still a lot of coconut water left. I'm not really being an optimist, am I? I'm actually not pleased because I don't want to drink the rest of that glass of coconut water. But on the flip side, if you were to take me to my favorite little Mexican restaurant in town and buy me a nice big watermelon margarita, which I love watermelon margaritas, and you said, take some sips, I'd take a few big gulps. And even if the glass was still pretty full and you said, well, how much is left? My response would be, not enough. We need another round of these, even though I'm kind of being a pessimist, right? But the glass is still full. It's because it's what I want. I want it to be full all the way. I might have only taken a little bit out of it, just a few sips, but it's not full enough. So perspective does matter. And that's why when we go into things and we're looking for positives, that does make a difference. We see them, just like if we're looking for negatives. We're going to see those as well. So my first piece of advice tonight is that we do need to wake up every day or go into new adventures or even old situations being positive. Even if we're kind of nervous, kind of overwhelmed, kind of scared, or we just really don't want to go, if we go into it with a positive attitude, even if the positive attitude is, I'm only having to stay here for an hour, not like the most positive attitude, but at least we're not going into it thinking this is going to be horrible. I don't want to be here. This person is going to upset me and I want to leave. You're going to only see that situation in a negative way, and you're probably going to look for the things that make you upset, make you nervous. When you go into a job interview and you think to yourself, I'm going to crush this. I'm going to go in and I am going to be myself. I am going to show this company, this employer, how great a fit I am. I'm going to go in and sell myself and they're going to want me to work here. Even if you don't get the job, you went in with positive energy, positive attitude. And even if you don't get the job, hopefully, what you'll remember for the next job interview is how well you did. Maybe it didn't work out. That's their loss, right? They should have hired you. But at least you did your best. And hopefully that positive attitude will encourage you to do it again at the next job interview. Now, if you go into that interview nervous, which you're going to be nervous anyway, interviews are kind of scary things. I get that. But if you go into it thinking, they're going to ask me questions I don't know. They're going to ask me to explain things that I can't explain, or they're going to ask me questions that put me on the spot, and I'm not going to be able to answer them. They're going to think that I'm an idiot. They're going to think I'm not a fit for this job. Chances are that is what's going to happen. You're going to walk in with your head down before it even starts, and you're not going to project someone that they really want to employ. And then when you don't get the job, you are kind of creating a negative attitude for the next job. We have to try to be positive. It's not easy. And in the second part of this episode, I will talk about just a few things that I can suggest. But really, the key part, the big piece of advice for this section of the episode is that positive does find positive, as hard as it can be. And sometimes the positive has to just be something very small, something that can just get you through the situation. Today, I went and visited at my parents' house, and I had a family member there who in the past has not been the most fun person to be around. She is honestly overwhelming, and her energy is just so big, and it drains me. And all week I have not been excited about this, just because I never know what questions she's going to ask. I never know if she's even going to ask questions or if the whole situation is going to be about herself. But I was not excited about it, but I woke up today and I told myself, you said you'd stay for an hour. I set it up where I could only stay for an hour, so I can get through anything for an hour. I can go and I can smile and I can listen. And if she asks me questions, even if I don't answer what she wants to hear, I can at least answer. I'm going to go and I'm going to be myself. But the positive is it is only an hour. And to be honest, I went in with a smile on my face, and it was not awesome. It was not a lot of fun, and that's okay. But I made it through it. And it just reminded me that for the next time, I can do anything for an hour. I can sit on my parents' couch, and they had bought a few little snacks for me and things that I like. So I sat there and just focused on the fact that my mom had bought me snacks, and I was going to sit there and eat those. And per usual, this family member only talked about themselves. They really didn't want to hear about me or my life. They just wanted to talk about themselves. So it wasn't horrible because I didn't feel like I had to contribute. I tried twice. Both times I was talked over. So that's a pretty good clue that you don't really need to do anything other than listen and eat your snacks. So that's what I did. But I went into it with positive, and I walked away positive, drained. I'm pretty tired tonight, but I at least did not go in with a grudge on my shoulder, with negativity around me, because that would have just painted an unpleasant situation that would have then affected everyone else that was there. So I tried. And in this case, it worked. Sometimes it doesn't. I know that. But if we wake up and we decide that we're going to start every day as a fresh day, we're going to not forget things that maybe have happened, things that we should always remember, but we're going to try, we're going to get up, and we are going to try to be positive. And we go through our day positive. We will kind of, I spy with my little eyes, positive things. The Where's Waldo, we will find the positive things. The negative things are there, and we won't miss them, don't get me wrong. But if we look for positive, we will find positive around us. For the second part, I want to just kind of do a quick reminder that waking up every day positive is great, but as everything has two extremes. And I sometimes say that we should walk down the middle, but I realize that that's not really accurate because the middle means, in this case, kind of being neutral. And we shouldn't be neutral. And nothing is really neutral. So we need to find kind of our green zone in between the two red zones. The two extremes are the red zones, being too positive as well as being too negative. For each different situation, and it will change, what is your green zone? And I say your because remember, what works for you might not work for me, might not work for anyone else. You have to figure out what is your green zone and try to stay in that area. Because you can be too positive and you can be too negative. And the problem with being too negative, of course, is that we never see the good. We are often looking for negative. It's hard to smile when you go into every situation, when you wake up every day negative. That is what you're going to find around you. And you're probably going to ignore the positive stuff because you are so deep in the negative. Of course, there's the other extreme, being too positive. And the problem with being too positive is that we ignore that little gut voice inside, the one that warns us to be careful. If you go into every situation thinking it's going to be wonderful and it's going to end up perfect, it won't, because not everything, well, nothing's perfect, right? But we might miss some red flags. Just like if someone asks you to do something and you go into it thinking, I know some people have said that this person is not a great person. This person talks behind others' backs, or this person goes out of their way to sabotage jobs, but I'm going to be positive and I'm going to give this person 100%. I'm going to go into it happy and give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, if that's all you're seeing, you might miss that person doing maybe toxic or unhealthy or unhappy things to you. So we need that green zone, that area that says, I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to go into the day with fresh eyes. I'm going to not, again, forget things from the past, because we have a past for a reason. We need to learn from it. But I'm not going to wake up mad about what happened yesterday or last week. I'm going to move on. It's a new day. And that's what we need to do, to whatever degree you can. And that is your green zone. But we definitely do not want to go to either extremes, because those two red zones, for so many things in life, we don't want to do. You can, for example, drink too much water, right? You can drink too little water. Those are two extremes. So what's your green zone? And that's a process. And as with everything else, because life is not easy, right? It changes. It changes with who we're around. It changes with our age. It changes with our situation. So your green zone might change here and there. But for me, I kind of try to be, my green zone has to be a little bit closer to the positive, because too much negative does affect me in so many ways. But I try not to be too positive. I try not to go to that extreme. So we'll end this with just a couple suggestions. And again, because life's not easy and we all are our own people, what I do to be positive or to start my day positive might not work for you. And you can take these suggestions or leave them. You need to figure out what works best for you. But for me, I do, every morning I take a shower. That is what refreshes me. And that, because trust me, as soon as my feet hit the floor after that alarm goes off, I am not a happy person. I don't care what time I went to bed. When I get up, it is early and I am not happy. But I have found that for me, taking a shower refreshes me. It starts my day. And when I'm in the shower, I go over the things that I need to do that day. And I try very hard when I list them to think of them in more positive or try to make a positive spin on them. So I know what makes me happy. And if I have a bunch of errands to run, then I think to myself, okay, you're going to run these errands, and in between, you're going to stop and get yourself a cup of coffee. Some sort of latte that, I mean, to be honest, I get a lot of lattes from McDonald's. I don't need the expensive stuff. I think that a pumpkin spice right now latte from McDonald's is really good. So I treat myself. That's how I put a positive spin on things that I am not looking forward to doing or seem overwhelming to me. And to be honest, when I'm running those errands, I'm looking forward to that pumpkin spice latte. And then after I get it, the errands afterwards really don't seem such a big deal either, because I'm sipping on a pumpkin spice latte and I'm pretty happy. Sometimes it's a Coke. I do love McDonald's Cokes as well. So I will say, do this stuff halfway in between. Go get yourself a large, because they're all a dollar, McDonald's Coke. And again, it doesn't seem so bad. So it allows me to be a little bit more positive. I do mantras, as I've talked about before. I've talked about mantras kind of in a way when I'm upset or stressed, but I do them in the morning, and I just have little things I say to myself to help me smile a little bit. I start my day with a smile. And for another example is putting a time limit on things that I don't really want to do, like visiting with a family member today. I found a way to take a situation that I really didn't want to do and make it a little bit more bearable for me. And then, of course, my mantra as I was driving over there, it was, it's only an hour. It's only an hour. You can do anything if it's only an hour. And it was true for me. Yoga, exercise, little treats for yourself, all are great ways to find ways to be positive. End of the day, sometimes it's nice. I know a lot of us like to take our phones to bed. I am guilty of that. But what I do right before bed, so I turn my phone off and I like to go over the positives that have happened that day. Trust me, any negatives have happened, I saw them. I've already replayed them 50 times in my head. I've already been upset by them. But I don't want to close my eyes, if possible, with negative. So I try very hard, and some days it's harder than others, I get that. I try to close my eyes thinking about the positive things that happened. Sometimes I got to think. Sometimes the positive is that my little dog is lying next to me in bed. Sometimes the positive is that I got the laundry done, something. Sometimes it is hard to find, but I try very hard because I feel that when I close my eyes, if I close my eyes thinking about a positive, that does kind of carry over to the next day. It's like when my kids are leaving for school or my husband's leaving for work or when anyone leaves my home, I try to send them out the door in a positive way. Even if we're not having a great day, even if someone has forgotten to do something, or we argued about homework or argued about something with my husband, I try very hard to send them out the door by saying something positive, because I do think that carries over. They leave the house feeling positive, so then they're looking, hopefully, for positive things. I know it works for me. Might not work for them, might not work for you, but they're suggestions. Because in the end, I spy with my little eyes positives. And I do think that it affects my whole day. Give it a try. See if it works for you. If you have any thoughts or opinions, you know I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out. You can find me on Twitter at Petals of Support. You can also email me. It's petals.s@aol.com. It's petals.s@aol.com. All this information is in the show notes. If you like this episode, please consider giving it 5 stars. You can give it a little review. I love reviews. Maybe share it with friends and family. All that helps get my name out, and I appreciate that. And if you're interested, I do have a link to buy me a coffee. Support is always, always welcome. I will be back next week with two episodes. We're not going to have any guests in the next couple weeks. I am looking into somebody else. And if you're interested, please let me know. But I hope you have an excellent weekend, and I love you all.